Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Picking up on The Last Judgment and how it's often depicted by artists as terrifying, we go over to the Sistine Chapel and take a look at how Michelangelo envisaged it. We do that with a professor of fine arts. She's Breda Ennis. Breda, we're on to The Last Judgment again, and we're going to speak about the damned. Is that right?
Yes.
At the bottom of the right-hand corner, looking at this big fresco. Frightening, huh?
Yeah, I would say actually quite terrifying.
scary. Yeah.
It's funny, it's the type of scene that the more you look at it, the more you discover, and the more horrifying you realise it is. And because...
It's the River Styx, no?
Yes, yeah.
And there's the boat.
Yes, and the boat of Charon. And you see that here you have Charon with the oar ready to literally hit the damned and just kick them out of his boat and bringing them down to hell. But he's not even giving them time to get out of the boat. He wants to literally wallop them, you know. I mean, you just get the feeling he can't wait to just throw them into hell. I mean, it's terrifying.
He's been depicted as half animal, half human.
Yes, yes. In fact, but what's interesting is the expression in his eyes. You can see that he's concentrating on the group he's kicking out of the boat, and also he's keeping himself in balance, which is interesting here. Let's say one leg is in the boat and the other leg is on the edge of the boat, and it has the claw of a devil, you know. So it's a horrible expression. And the legs are different too, if you notice that, and also the hands that are holding this oar. So you just get the feeling that this oar, it's contrast very much. If you look above that, you see the scene where the angels are calling the dead to arise, and then you have the books of the good trumpets. And the bad and the trumpets, etc. And you feel that the trumpets are the dynamic in the sense of glorifying in the job that they have to do, you see. But you look at him below, then his oar is darker, it's more vicious looking, and you just know this really heavy stuff. And then the angels on this side, again, the angels are wingless angels, baddies. And they're darker, painted darker, actually, by Michelangelo, all the figures, the bad angels on this side. And what they try to do is pull the people who have been condemned down into hell. And generally, some of these people have attributes, for example, pride. In whatever area they sinned, you find that the angels are, let's say, taking them down by the area where they sinned, so to speak, you know, whether it's pride or whatever. This figure has an incredible sense of shame. It's probably one of the figures most portrayed.
It's well known.
Yeah, it's a very well-known piece. And again, look at this figure, very, very voluminous figure. He's put in a terrible situation of shame. You feel like, oh my God, what did I do? Why did I live like that? Why is this happening to me? And it's too late. In that figure, he's able to portray, and that figure is just to the right of the trumpeting angels announcing the last judgment, and just above the boat of Charon. And the figure is so dramatic. It's almost as dramatic as the figures of the saints as above. But he's made this figure a little bit bigger than the others, and he's sort of separated the figure from the other group to underline the gravity and the awful sense of, oh my goodness, why did I do what I did, whatever it is. And you can see the devils are hanging on to him at all costs. They're behind him. They're hanging around his legs. They're pulling him down below. Then you have another one, another devil just below, carrying a person on his back and making sure that he's going to go into the boat. Then you have another person just next to him on the right, trying to go back up again, but there's no way he's going to make it because he's being pushed down from above. And you see, that's the same all over. You see all of the figures on right over to the side of the wall in the middle area, just on the right-hand side. You have all these figures who have been, let's say, judged to go below, and they realise where they're going because they can see what's happening down below at the base, where all the people are falling out of the boat into the hell. Look here, you see, they're all falling on top of each other too. Because the one thing you notice from the side of the fresco where he's dealing with people who are saved and people who are being condemned, The people who are condemned seem to be more squashed together. There's less space. It's like the suffocation of evil. You just get this feeling that it's all suffocated. And it's like, you know, when you have a crowd of people stampeding on top of each other. This kind of feeling, like another dead, another condemned, a whole bunch, 10 more, 24. You just get the feeling he's just throwing down hundreds and hundreds and thousands. When you look up to the middle section and you see the book of the condemned, you see that it's much larger than the book of the saved. So the good, it's a smaller book and it's a thinner book. The bad, it's a bigger book and it's a thicker book. And you just feel this terrible sense of suffocation, and you know that you're almost like they're falling down in layers into hell. And again, this marvellous figure over here of Minos, where Michelangelo played a trick on the Pope Paul III's secretary, who criticised the fact that he painted figures nude, saying that this was not appropriate for a chapel which would be used by the Pope. And Michelangelo, let's say, just in his naughty little sense of humour, decided to make him as Minos and have him circled by, in right in the middle of hell, with a lovely sense of flames behind and surrounded and squashed by a serpent. So the famous thing that the Pope, when his secretary appealed to him for help, he said, well, you know, I have a lot of power in heaven and some in purgatory, but none in hell. But again, he's standing right over the door here. But I think...
Who's standing right over?
This Minos.
Minos, yeah.
Yeah, and as the Pope's secretary. So
the he's, total... He's one of the most well-known figures.
Yes.
One of the more...
Yes,
well.
He is, yeah. What's it? Biagio of Cesena, yeah, the papal master of ceremonies. He's kind of caught in an eternal trap in the sense of the fresco. But again, going back to what's going on here, you see this marvellous way that Michelangelo is able to show also the movement of the water here. It's not so visible at the beginning, but you can see the movement of the water as well, and the boat is tilting because there's so many people in it. And yet it contrasts completely with what's going on further up the wall in the fresco. This is why the moods are swinging and changing all over this Last Judgment. The part of the damned, it's suffocation. The part of the saved is a sense of light, uplifting struggle, but going upwards. Then you have all the saints waiting and the martyrs waiting quietly, with Christ, who's being dramatic in the centre and just judging.
And warm thanks there to Professor of Fine Arts Breda Ennis for sharing with us her expertise in the field of sacred art. Professor Ennis is currently teaching at the American University of Rome. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.